You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I've managed to get hold of Bruce on the phone again. He tells me it's a very, very sweltering hot day there in Maryland. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Well, glad to be back, Simon. Always glad to be back. Yep, it's hot. USA is a very big place, and from the Mississippi to the Atlantic Ocean, temperatures are sweltering. In the Fahrenheit, they're going high 90s to the hundreds. I guess I did my math here for you guys, and I think it goes from right now it's 32 degrees Celsius, that's 90 degrees ours, and they're looking at it to go as high. They're looking at it to go as high as 38 to 40 degrees Celsius. That's over 100 degrees.
I think I'll stick to the 13 the 13 degrees that we have here in Auckland at the moment. Thank you very much.
Well, you're on the other side of the planet, so you get the other you get your winter. It's so strange for me.
So what's been going on in the States in the last week or so?
Well, it's the election. Now, we're five months away, and it's all anybody can talk about. Let's see. A lot of you guys may not understand. We do everything backwards here in the States. We have our own weights and measures. We also have switched the colors. So the red is conservative, and the liberal is blue. In any place else on the planet, red is the liberal, but what are you going to do? Let's see, moving on. Simon, you sent me a question. Someone had inquired about the Electoral College.
They had. They were wondering how it all works, because we don't have that here in New Zealand.
It's really actually so simple, so very simple. Our founding fathers and their infinite wisdom said, well, we've got big states and little states. We've got states like Rhode Island, which is super tiny, and then massive states like California and Texas and Alaska. And they said, well, it's not fair that the little states don't get equal vote. So what they did was to say, okay, yeah, well, let's separate it. Let's have a vote for every member of Congress. Congress is separated. You get two states. Every state gets two states. Two senators, excuse me, gets two senators. And then the House of Representatives is divvied up based on population. So California, being the biggest state, gets 54 electoral votes. Texas, 40. Florida, 30. New York, 28. And it's all based on the populations. So they said, well, if a candidate wanted to get elected and it's just by the majority vote, all he'd have to do was campaign in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Houston, and the rest of the country forget about, because that's where the population is, and majority would rule, and that's not fair. So that's how the Electoral College works. So it's a winner-take-all. Biden versus Trump. If Trump should win a state, he gets that state, all electoral votes for that state, and likewise for Biden if he should get his state. So it's a winner take all, and then they total it up, and you have to have 270 electoral votes to become president, and that's what they were confirming on January 6th when the manure hit the windmill, as they say. That's my own euphemism. Anyway, so that's the Electoral College, and it's and they want, like, Senator Kennedy is running, and not Senator Kennedy. Anyway, Bobby Kennedy's son is running for president, but he's only on the ballot on six states, which only allows him 89 electoral possible votes. So he can't win the presidency unless he's on more on the ballot on more states.
And hence there's also been the controversy. No, it makes a lot of sense. It also makes clear why I think Trump in a couple of states and Biden in several are fighting to be on the ballot. They've not done things correctly, or they've tried to be removed, but it's it's vitally important for them, isn't it, to be on all states' ballots?
Yes, and every single one of the states have their own electoral commission, and every one of the states then are fighting back and forth, and there's all sorts of shenanigans going on. But California's got 54, and then the smaller states like Wyoming, Vermont, South Dakota, they have three. You have two senators and one representative, and that's all you get. Washington, D.C. gets three just because. They should have. We've only got one non-voting representative from Washington, D.C., but they get three electoral votes. And that's electoral vote story.
Well, that's really helpful. I mean, I had put the question to you because a listener had been asking. Hey, I'm conscious of, I've got to keep rolling. Tell me, what's some of the big news at the moment?
Oh, Joe Biden and his feebleness. We saw him at Normandy. We saw him at the G7 fundraiser. And then just last week, he was in Hollywood for a huge fundraiser. And he just freezes up. He goes catatonic. And so the right is saying, aha, he's not capable. And the left, Biden's team are saying, no, it's all deep fakes. It's artificial intelligence. So what are you going to do with that?
Sorry, to get that right, because I've seen the footage. That they're saying that most of the footage is being faked.
That's just not true. To be determined, maybe it's, but as I see it, and I think as most people see it, there's no jump cuts. There's no way it could have been where Obama grabs hold of Biden's arm and leads him off stage. You're not supposed to. That's weird.
I had seen it. I'm not from the States, but I thought it was a bad move by Biden to leave he didn't attend the peace summit on Ukraine. Instead, he chose to go back to a fundraiser with Hollywood celebrities. For what it's worth, Bruce, I don't think those are good optics.
Optics for who? It's the optics for the United States. I don't know. You've been here. We don't work or pay much attention to the rest of the world. It's weird.
fair point.
It's so typically American. I mean,
no, that's good. I know, too, there's a bit of controversy, isn't there, across the political parties and people around whether there should be funding of Ukraine or not. So it could be quite a different perspective.
Absolutely. Oh, it's that. Well, that's the Ukraine thing is maddening. We should have given them whatever they needed when they needed it. But the infinite wisdom of our electoral body. What are you going to do?
Damn politicians. Hey, before you go, you were telling me that there's you've got some good, well, I use the term good oil. You're confused by that, so. But what's your take on Trump's nominee for, is it vice president? You said you might have some suggestions or thoughts.
Sure, good oil. I have never heard that expression before. It's hysterical. It's great. To the VP contest, as it were, Trump's got about 2 weeks, or he's got 3 weeks to name a VP. Probably do it at the convention, but there's about six. You've got number one in the running would be Doug Burgum, who is the governor of South Dakota. He's a reliable, self-made man. He's worth a lot of money, and he's kind of central casting, looks the part, and he's super loyal to Trump. J.D. Vance, young guy, he's only 39 years old, could be the attack dog for Trump. He's good on TV. Anyway, then we've heard of Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio is from Florida as well. He's a junior senator from Florida. And the problem with that is the Constitution says two candidates can't be from the same state. So somebody would have to move in order for Rubio to be picked. Tim Scott, he's my favorite. He's my pick.
So what was that guy's name again?
His name is Senator Tim Scott. He's the junior senator from South Carolina. Incredibly kind, likable, lovable. His grandfather was from slavery. And so he uses the term from cotton to Congress. And he's with the black vote, is a very serious vote for us. And it would be good for Trump to have him. And he speaks well, and he's good on TV. Then you have a few. Stefanik, Tom Cotton. He's an interesting character. He could very well end up Secretary of State or something. He's Harvard graduate, a military vet from both Afghanistan and where else was he? Afghanistan. I forget where else he was. Iraq. He was in Iraq and Afghanistan. And very soft-spoken, very mild-mannered. He's brilliant at international politics. We'll see him in some position. And then, of course, Ben Carson, former Secretary of Health and Education, brain surgeon, also African-American, super nice guy. He's not going to be VP.
No, I've actually met Ben before. I just say, lovely, lovely guy. I've actually met Marco Rubio a couple of times as well. He and I are on the same IPAC, that Interparliamentary Alliance on China. So, yeah. Bruce, we're going to have to leave it there for now. We'll obviously have you back again. There's so much to share, but it sounds like, is it Tom Scott? Did you say that's your Tim Scott? That's your pick.
Tim Scott. That's what I'm hoping for. What he does, it's Trump. Who knows what he's going to do?
That's right. We'll have to, listeners, we'll have to keep that name in mind and see you within 2 or 3 weeks if Bruce is right. Hey, my friend, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.